Whole Home listeners, Happy New Year. It's 2025, and I'm here with Rashmi Bhattacharya, and we are going to laugh a little, probably, because we are going to play some really silly New Year's games. I found a trivia, Rashmi, and then I have submitted myself to playing with you.
Okay, yay.
So I'm excited to see if we are really good or really bad. So here's a pile in the middle of the table. Yes. So you draw one and ask me, and we'll go back and forth.
Hey, I like that.
Okay, you go first.
Alrighty, let's see. It's tradition to drink what on New Year's Eve?
I hope it's champagne.
Yes.
It is. Okay. I'm like, what else could it be? What does Auld Lang Syne mean?
Oh, I have no idea.
I didn't know this either. It actually means times gone by.
Oh.
From that song. I'm not going to sing it.
You should sing
it. No way. All right, your turn.
When did the New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square start?
I'm going to say over 100 years ago.
Yeah, 1904.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, good job. I did not know that.
Where is the world's largest New Year's Eve celebration in the world? So think.
Largest. Dubai.
Ooh, good guess. Actually, Sydney, Australia.
Oh, who would have thought?
Not me.
At what time does the Times Square crystal ball start to drop?
Wait, is that a trick question?
I know, a little. Not totally.
I can't remember if it goes down a little bit at a time. Is it like to the minute?
Yes.
All right, 10 minutes before.
It's 1 minute before.
1 minute before. Okay, oops. What food might a superstitious person avoid eating on New Year's Eve?
Huh. I have no idea.
It says lobster. Why do you think?
Lobster?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
Me neither.
I'm learning a lot about New Year's today. This is fun. What U.S. state is the last to celebrate the new year?
Oh, it'd be Alaska. Is Alaska the furthest or is Hawaii?
Close, Hawaii.
Okay.
Yeah, Hawaii.
Okay.
Good job. I would have not known that.
That's your teacher voice. Good job. Okay, what do the Scottish call New Year's Eve? No way you're going to get this. If you do, I'm taking you out.
I don't know, Laura. I want to go out, though.
How do you say it? Hogmanay?
Hogmanay.
Okay. I'm calling you on the 31st.
Let's go. What company makes the Times Square crystal ball?
Tiffany's?
Waterford. I've never heard of Waterford. I would have said Tiffany's.
Yeah. Where in New York City does the crystal ball drop? That's easy.
Times Square.
Okay.
Yay.
Well done.
How much does a Times Square crystal ball weigh?
200 pounds.
It says 1,070 pounds.
Ooh.
Who would have thought?
200
is what I
all that thought. Crystal. What is the most popular New Year's parade?
There's parades? Something in Texas.
Oh, there's no location. So it's the name of it.
I really don't know.
It's the Tournament of Roses.
Tournament of
the
Roses.
Rose Parade.
I'm going to remember that.
I slept on the street once for this.
You did?
Yeah. With my sister in college. It was all her friends. It was very uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
I've always wanted to go to a parade, but then after that, you're so tired.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it must have been cold.
It was in California.
Oh, okay.
Southern California. Not New York. That would be fun, maybe. I don't know.
What ancient civilization made the first New Year's resolutions?
Can you give me the first letter?
B.
Further back, can I say Buddhist then? Is that what it means?
It says Babylonia.
Babylonian. Okay. Wow.
Is that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's far back. That's ancient, all right. All right, what year did Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve premiere?
Ooh.
Or you could just give me the decade.
The 90s.
70s.
Oh, no way.
Really old, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Name one of the three nations that celebrates the New Year first.
Yeah. Am I going to get any of these?
Maybe. Like, says, I don't really know if I've heard of these before.
Oh.
Tonga.
Oh, yeah.
Samoa.
Right there on the tip of my tongue. Okay. And?
Kiribati.
Okay. Next time I'll get it right. Who wrote Auld Lang Syne? Nope, you're not getting it. Thanks, Robert Burns. I'm going to ask you another
one. I would have known that one for sure.
What is the Jewish New Year called? You might know it.
Tikvat.
Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry. I just thought of the first Jewish word. I hope that's not
offensive.
Are we
out? Oh. Almost done.
What is the most popular New Year's resolution in the U.S.?
Oh, lose weight? I don't know.
Yeah, it says eat healthier.
Eat healthier. So. Close. In what year did the first Times Square crystal ball drop?
1970.
70? Close. Okay, if you switch the last two digits, it's 1907. So oh. They've been doing that a long time.
Yeah, okay. I remember one of the previous questions. It was 1904. Man.
Okay. Darn. This good thing we're not scoring.
Yes. On New Year's Eve, people traditionally blink when the clock strikes midnight.
Oh, kiss.
Yes.
Yay.
Woohoo. That's a good one to end on.
All right. Just for fun, though, I'm going to ask you a couple New Year's Eve would you rather questions.
Okay.
Rush, would you rather have to make 100 New Year's resolutions or eat 100 cocktail meatballs?
Meatballs.
Swim in a pool. I don't know what this has to do with New Year's, by the way. Swim in a pool of holiday punch or hot cocoa.
Punch.
You love swimming, right?
I do.
Do you like swimming?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather spend the next week dressed as the New Year's baby? Oh my, or Father Time?
I don't know what either. I guess a baby.
Okay. Just for fun. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of sad. Would you rather not be able to speak in the new year or not be able to sleep in the new year?
Ooh. Oh, man, I'd lose my job.
Yeah.
Either way, maybe.
Would you rather celebrate New Year's Eve in Times Square or cabin in the mountains?
Times Square.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather be on the New Year's Eve countdown show with Ryan Seacrest or appear on a float?
A float?
Really? Would you wave?
Yes.
Yes.
What would you choose in that one?
You know, I really like screaming at the floats that go by. I like being a crowd participant, but I'd wave at some kids. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Well, here's a kind of a personality question. Would you rather be the one singing the national anthem at a football game or being the one interviewing the losing quarterback?
I'd like to interview the losing quarterback.
Okay. Now we're going to get to normal, non-weird questions.
Okay.
From my pile. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Okay, Reshma, you know how this goes. 5 minutes to answer me.
Already.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
No.
Me neither.
Okay.
Do you have a useless talent, though?
I can crochet. Maybe that's useful.
It's totally
slow.
Useful.
It's a slow talent.
Okay. Are you the person who like brings it where you go?
I'm starting to be, but my muscles are hurting.
What muscles? So fingers?
The one in my shoulder. I don't know. I injured it last year, so that might be why.
If I ran into you at a restaurant, can't count Panera, where would you be?
Christian's Pizza.
Oh, where's that?
It's on Lombardi in the Fan.
It's good, obviously.
I don't know. I've just been eating there since I've been in college, so I'm kind of in this loop.
Okay. What are two musicians on your playlist?
Jonathan Van Dusen and Chris Renzema. Renzema.
Those are great ones. Oliver was crazy about his Garden song. Does that ever come up in your feed?
Chris Renzema's?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. Do you know how it goes?
Yes, but I'm not going to sing it. I think Brittany Schmidt sent it to me because I don't remember, somebody did, because it reminded of this podcast, and for a while I was like, can I use that as my intro song? And then it worked out wonderfully that Misty Harker wrote this amazing song. Yeah. That now is the podcast.
It's really good.
Song. Yeah, maybe I can tag the song somehow.
Yeah.
it's a beautiful song. Anyway, can you parallel park? Kind of.
I do now, but when I first came to Richmond, I could not park, and the neighbors would all come out and look at me. But Peyton, she's coming up a lot. She actually taught me how to parallel
park. Get out
park.
Of town.
Yeah.
That's fun. What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
I think being a manager at Panera was more challenging than I expected. Okay. Yes.
Did it grow you?
A lot, yeah.
Did you want that job?
I did. initially.
Story there. All right. Do you sketch or do you birdwatch?
I've dabbled in both, but I'm not devoted to either.
Okay. Do you collect anything?
Maybe animals.
What does that mean?
I have two cats, and there was a time where I had a lot of fish and snails, and if I had my own home, I imagine that collection would have been a lot larger.
Okay. Care to share any snail stories? I don't think in my life I've ever... We've had a few moments where we've had to turn away and laugh here. I think this is another one. Did you mean to share that you collect snails? Or you did?
I did.
Do you have a big heart? You couldn't just walk over them?
I really enjoy the Lord's creatures.
Did they get names?
They did. I can't remember.
I'm trying to hold it together.
Name. It did pass away because I got a specific plant that apparently snails are allergic to. It had an image of a snail and it was crossed out. So I went up to the lady and I said, "Does this mean this plant can't live with the snails?" And she said, "No, I think it means there's no snails on the plant."
And so you bought it and your snail died.
Died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sad. What? I can't chase this down anymore. Okay. I got to move on. Is there anything people sometimes misunderstand about you?
I think my tone comes out and maybe in a way I don't mean it to. Yeah.
Two words that describe you.
Big sinner. I don't know.
Generous and lovely is what comes to my mind. Okay. Are there any podcasts you listen to?
Am I allowed to say group chat?
Podcast. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Of course. That one? Just that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
I have a very small home. So maybe on the couch.
What is an instrument that you play?
A violin.
Do you know how to play chess?
I do, yes.
Cool.
My uncle taught me.
If you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
About Jesus.
Jesus. Sweet. What is the last thing you watched on television?
It was a terrible show. I don't recommend it, but I watched True Detective.
Do you like crime shows?
I think I'm very drawn to crime, but then I get weirded out in the dark of my headspace. So.
Yeah. What is your favorite season?
Recently, it's been summer, which is surprising. Most of my life has been fall.
What is your go-to breakfast?
Eggs and toast.
Classic.
Yes.
What are you reading?
It's a book on prayer that we are reading for CG.
Like how to pray? Or what is prayer?
More about how to pray. I wish I could remember.
What is your middle name?
I do not have a middle name.
Okay. Is there a book that you want more people to read?
The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not saying people are messy. It just is a life-changing book, but not some of the spiritual elements of it, but just kind of the principles.
All right. How about, what was a prayer you prayed today?
That I would serve the Lord while at church.
What's your favorite chore?
I like sweeping and mopping.
What's the last skill you learned?
Knitting.
Oh, knitting. Okay. Well, who taught you?
Technically, I had an art teacher teach me when I was young, but I never was able to grasp it. So I watched a YouTube video more recently and finally was able to grasp it.
All right. What made you want to do that?
I was getting into crocheting again. And I don't know. I was just craving it. I've always seen people knit and... I like working with my hands, so, yeah.
Is there any colors you find yourself drawn to?
I like orange. Light colors, neutrals, orange. I should knit a Reese sweater.
You should do something wild.
That would be full circle. That would be awesome.
But better.
But better.
But better. Do you make your bed every day?
I used to, but not recently, no.
What's your favorite book of the Bible?
Psalms.
Last one. If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Cats.
Cats. Wait. Where do you feel lacking?
I just don't understand them, but I own them. So I wish to know more, but I don't think that's a wise investment of my time.
So a good move, though, is to definitely acquire a painting of one.
Yes.
Which you
There's
are.
There's a very talented artist working on, which I'm grateful for.
I'm so grateful that you commissioned my daughter Ivory to paint.
Apparently,
your unloved cat.
That's just a rumor. It's just a rumor. She's loved.
She is loved. All right. Rushmay, tell me, please, what neighborhood you live in and how long you've been there.
I live in a neighborhood in North Chesterfield, and I don't know the name of it, but I live on the top of the Williams home. So I've been there since February of last year, or this year.
It's pretty special because this home was made for you.
In some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Williams did want to rent it out. And so Deanna talked to me about it. And I think that's where the Lord led us.
So who is in your total household together?
So in my room, it's me and my cats. Yeah. And then below me is the
No more snail. Okay.
The fish are gone.
Totally different topic, but how long have you been coming to Remnant and who invited you?
I think it's been about 4 or 5 years and the Kesters invited me.
I didn't get into that story, actually. What made that connection even happen? Did you just tell, because Peyton, you were working with her and you just mentioned, I'm looking for a church?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I had just been saved and I came back to Richmond. And I was really excited about Jesus. And I was telling everyone at work, but when I saw Peyton, I was like, she's too cool. Like, I don't want to weird her out by telling her about Jesus, which is such an odd thing now. But I was telling her I went on the spiritual journey. And she's like, okay, like, tell me more. And I never came out with it, which is kind of sad. But she did tell me she was married. And I was like, oh, are you a Christian? So so she said yes, and then she invited me out to Remnant because I was looking for a church, and it was still in the middle of COVID, so a lot of churches were meeting on Facebook. I was so grateful that she invited me to Remnant, and they were meeting in person.
The point where I met you at the gallery, how involved were you in Remnant at that point?
Not very involved at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't totally understand Shaco's relation to Remnant. I didn't think there was any bridge there. So, yeah, I was very new to it still. Yeah.
And whose community group are you in now?
Josh and Deanna Williams.
Okay, awesome. Ready to start?
Yes.
All right, let's go to your garden.
Okay.
And the planning part, your desires and dreams for your garden of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still figuring out how to follow the Lord, but recently I feel a lot of conviction in my lifestyle and the Lord pricking away at certain things and showing me that life can serve him better by making some changes. So that's kind of what I'm planning right now.
Was it a kind of a book, or do you feel like it was just a natural progression of growth that made you aware
of this? Yeah, kind of both. Definitely through prayer, and there's a quote that the pastors talk about a lot, C.S. Lewis's quote. It reads, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what it is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased." So the Lord's really used that quote in my life to show me that I'm far too easily pleased through being amused by things and being distracted through life without actually working the soil, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you talked about, you used the specific language of removing bad habits and vices.
Yeah.
And then you used, again, very specific language about this has created more space in your life. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious for you to talk about the order of that. Like, were you trying to plan these things before they were actually removed? And then was there a conflict there where you were actually praying for, I guess, good things and more of Christ without taking these bad habits out? I'm guessing, I'm trying to think of how to say it.
Yeah.
And yeah. then was there a point where you're like, actually, things have to go?
That's right. Yeah.
How did it work?
Very much like that. Yeah, I think for a long time I've kept these things in my life, but now feel a conviction that they do have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like the tie into the planning that you actually had to choose and decide in your mind, like, I'm going to step towards this.
Yes.
Yeah. So how long ago is that? If you mentioned it, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh, no. It's been pretty recent over time. Certain things have just been highlighted. And I will make changes for a period of time and then kind of let them go, but then feel the conviction to go back.
There was some point where you were even looking beyond yourself. I know I've had a conversation with you over coffee when you were reflecting on patterning and even how the decisions that you make right now actually affect the patterns of future generations that come from you.
Interesting.
I don't know if you remember that.
Maybe
you
a little bit.
It struck me because I was like, wow, you're actually connecting your current day with a future far ahead of you and the choices that you make instead of, it just to me was living a choice to live with more intention, recognizing more than yourself, you know, like a very unselfish perspective.
Because I can see how we inherit our parents' vices, maybe, or their ways of being.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a decision that we have to make. Are we going to continue this generational habit or kind of take the pain of it being removed so it doesn't continue on?
How have you seen God meet you in this plan?
I think very gently and with a lot of grace, because I am not always doing the best in change, but definitely through a lot of education on why certain ways of living are better and how they can serve him better. And ultimately, I'm not my own. I belong to the Lord. And so I'm a steward of my body and not the owner of it. I ought to learn how to take good care of it and do it for his glory.
As I said before, you mentioned space, that somehow space has opened up in your life.
Yeah.
Like, how much space are we talking?
It's a lot of space. So I think one of the changes that I've made have been in diet. So eating a lot less sugar, a lot less processed foods. And I'm kind of realizing how much of my mind is kind of fixated on food before, just because those things can be a little bit addicting. Or they can give me like a rush of dopamine in the afternoon. So kind of not having those rushes or those things to look forward to, I have to find other joys to look forward to. So there is a lot of space that maybe I didn't plan well enough. I need to figure out how to fill those gaps. So that's what I'm praying for. The Lord's given me a lot more creative energy. So I've been having the desire to make more things, step into crafting more. So I'm grateful for that.
Would you say that's something that you maybe weren't doing before?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think I had the space for it, or I've always desired to do it, but it would never be something I would step to.
What does creative energy look like for you?
I think I've just having an idea to make something and then moving forward with it. I would have ideas previously and kind of let them sit or wouldn't do anything with them. So now I want to step into photography more. I've always really enjoyed walking through Richmond and the history that its buildings hold and wanting to photograph them, but never taking the time to do that. So it brings me a lot of joy to do that. And I really see what C.S. Lewis is talking about when we find joy in greater things than more immediate pleasures.
Yeah. Are you someone who enjoys a well-worn path or discovering a new place?
I really enjoy discovering a new place and exploring.
Do you know any photographers that have taught you or could teach you? Or
I don't know many photographers, but...
Do you let that stop you?
I don't let it stop me.
I guess, or what you know or don't know? Do you just pursue it?
Maybe I should let it stop me a little
bit. That is not what I'm saying at all.
I know it's not. But yeah, it's very, I'm working at a very amateur
Because it sounds like level. it's not keeping you from pursuing this.
Yeah, I almost feel like I have no other choice. Like, yeah. I just have to do this. Like, it's this desire and I have to complete it. So just kind of stepping into that and not fearing man and knowing that it's for the Lord and not really for the eye of man. It's mm-hmm. more for the eye of God. And it's a joy to be able to share that with people who also enjoy creating things.
Yeah. Are you attracted more to like an interesting angle or the lighting or like maybe more the space, like something happened here, like the whole of it or maybe the parts of it?
I think the parts of it I love. I'm going to the inauguration of Donald Trump and I really want to take pictures of that day and kind of the more mundane things that happen throughout that day, because the media will capture the big event. I think it's really special. Yeah, the smaller things, traveling on the metro to get to the event, taking pictures of what happens in the crowd, just documenting a historic day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that exciting.
This will be maybe interesting to you. The next show coming up at Shaco Art Space is a photography show.
Oh, that's right. So, I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, we don't have many of those. So, yeah, I'm excited for it to open in February.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this okay to ask before these things that you're saying that you're intentionally planning to remove or just telling them they have to go, were they just kind of around in your life and you knew they were like not good things? Or is there a point where you kind of had the realization?
Yeah, I think they were around in my life, but I didn't feel a strong conviction to remove them, or I would try and it wouldn't be successful and I would kind of move on. But I've been praying for the Lord's strength to remove these things, and I've seen him help me a lot through mainly the people of the church. So it seems like it's kind of coming to a boiling point right now of I think sometimes God gives us a lot of grace when we don't know that something is bad. But once we know better, I feel more responsible for my decisions. So maybe at an earlier stage, I wasn't quite as aware of things that are not as productive. But I think it's important to remember that whether or not I'm productive, the Lord still loves me. And so it doesn't have to come from a place of striving, but that the Lord does want a better life for me overall.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, he wants you to image him. You're either going to, be softened by his presence or hardened. Mm-hmm. And so you're either going to yield to him or you're going to turn away. And if you long to draw closer, you have to yield. Like, you have to bow to the king.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, this is a sign of your increasing closeness to God.
That's good.
Because you long to be close to him. And there's certain things that can't be in his presence, you know.
That's right.
Sin and all of that. So
that's right.
This is random, but it's in your notes. Tell me about bullet journaling.
Bullet journaling. Oh, yeah. That was really exciting. I've done that growing up for a period, and then I stopped, and I kind of came across it recently. And it's just a method of journaling that helps you create a planner, and you're totally in control of how it's designed. And it also just creates space for other notes. And it's been so relieving almost, because I've had all these ideas and they're kind of in all these different journals. Like, I have a journal for church and a journal for projects I want to work on. So kind of having them all in one place has really streamlined the process. So I'm excited to step into that way of journaling.
So how often do you use your journal? I've never used one or practiced doing that. How does that work? Like, why do you find it helpful?
It does lay out the whole month, and then it breaks it down to daily task lists. So you kind of have that larger view, and there's also a yearly view. So you can kind of consistently go back to the big view of things and then break it down day by day. So
are you about to get to that part again? Because it's a few days shy of 2025.
Yeah.
Are you excited? Have you planned to plan for this?
Yes.
Plan to plan?
Yeah. Plan to plan, yeah.
When's your big planning date with yourself?
I got to plan that. I've already outlined January, so I'm looking forward to it. And
cool.
Yeah.
Do you get into handwriting? Is that part of it or does it matter?
I do. I really enjoy handwriting. I've tried to use a couple of different apps to keep me organized, and my brain just can't connect digitally. So I find that when I write something down, I really connect with it. Yeah.
Are there any, just as I said, I've never done it, any other benefits to bullet journaling that you've experienced?
It's nice to be able to look back at what you've written and did. And yeah, I often forget things. So it's nice to have kind of this record of life. I try to be organized, but life moves really fast, and different seasons require different things. So I've had a hard time kind of preparing for changes of seasons. So I'm praying that this method will kind of give me a better visual of where I'm at.
So tell me about living with intention. Does it press on you more, or does it actually make you feel more free?
Definitely makes me feel more free. Yeah, I think I've tried to automate a lot of habits in the past, and I realized we're not machines, and we're not made to be machines. So habits are good, but automating them and losing the intention, you can lose the meaning of the habit. And I can definitely fall into feeling that life is meaningless. So I can do all the things and then feel like nothing really meant anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can relate to that. I was very impacted by a book I read, must have been in the summer, called Ukmalor. Okay, called Something They Will Not Forget. Did I talk to you about this book?
No, I'm interested.
Can't remember. The man actually used to work at Veritas School here in town and then moved recently. I will tag this book in the show notes because I can't think of his name. Joshua Gibbs. Yes. Okay. Nice. Anyway, and it's all about how he wrote a catechism for his English class over at Veritas, or maybe it was another school before that, and it inspired me to write a catechism because it kind of tied into what you're talking about now of intention, because he's kind of bemoaning the fact that even at one of the best schools, his students could still forget all these wonderful things that he was caring to teach them or trying to. And so how do you live intending to remember? Of course, this is memory, not actions, but then the things that you hold closest to you kind of like act on, I think. And so he was trying to tie in virtue into his literature class, hoping to inspire students to live well, like unto Christ, unto God. So I definitely prayed, and God helped me to write a catechism for my kids for the year. And most mornings we will like read it. And that's what he did. You'll have to read the book for yourself. But he realized kind of catechizing them at the beginning of the year of what they would learn in his class. And they would say it before every class period. And he found that actually really impacted them. But I wanted to just read a little part of something that I wrote in for my kids that had to do with this section of your podcast. So there is a question that I end up asking in it called, how am I to grow in godliness? And of course, you could answer it in so many ways. But the way that I led my kids through it is, first we say the question altogether, how am I to grow in godliness? Then we say, I must desire to be godly, rely on the Spirit to supply the power, and then do the work. And then we read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 5:6. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Colossians 1:29. Train yourself for godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. And that especially just reminded me of what you were sharing. Because to me, you're doing that in sequence. I don't know if you intended to know that, but the desire to be godly is clearly evident. Mm-hmm. And then you're relying on the Spirit to supply the power. And then you're also putting into action. You're doing the work. You know, it just mm-hmm. doesn't stop with the first two. It actually is going to flow out of your fingertips and your feet, your mouth, all of it.
That's good.
Is there anything else you want to say in this section before we go to sewing?
No, that was really encouraging. Thank you.
All right, sewing, Rashmi. This part, I actually have no questions here because of the way you wrote your response to this was very unique, really cool, and I would just love for you to share. Oh, I do want to go back. You summed up every section with a phrase. Mm-hmm. So your first summing up in your mind, you kind of titled it. What was the title of your planning in your mind?
Creative Pursuits.
Okay. So now we're moving to...
Healthy Habits.
Healthy Habits. Okay. So let's talk about your seeds of faith here and this really unique way that you thought about it in your mind.
I was praying that the Lord would help me adopt healthy habits and kind of viewing it in this individualistic perspective. Like I have to buckle down and adopt these habits all on my own. And the Lord really showed up through the church and his people and learning through mainly the women of the church on how to live a godly life. So that was kind of how I approached this section. So I guess I'll go by the person. I mean, everyone's taught me a lot of things, but these are kind of the things that were highlighted in my mind. Deanna has been my workout buddy for a couple months every morning.
Cool.
We would wake up pretty early in the morning and work out together. She was really encouraging, teaching me how creating a strong body is a way to serve people. By being healthy, we can serve people well. She's also led a really good example of cooking healthy meals and making them really delicious. And she's been very encouraging to me in learning how to budget and walk that out. Blatarios, you guys invited me to a trip on Polyface Farms. The most life-changing moment of that was seeing the pigs.
I love when you say this.
Yeah, but those pigs, they were just so full of joy.
Yeah.
And it just lit me up. I was like, wow, look at those pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool to hear that he wrote a book about the pigs. What really stuck with me is that if we respect the Lord's design and take care of things well, they really thrive. So
comes through. It's you taste and see when you visit that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was a great trip. It made me start to pray, Lord, how can I be taking care of myself? Like, how did you design humans to be taken care of? So yeah. That really was a catalyst in that journey. And also just speaking to you about fasting. Fasting can be a really private thing. So it's really encouraging to hear other women in the church speak about fasting and the fruit it bears. I wrote Ashley Love. I'm very encouraged by her healthy lifestyle. I've known her for a couple of years, and she's always sustained a very healthy lifestyle and is always exercising. So it's always very encouraging.
Jumping her way through life.
Yes. Yeah, we did the Tacky Light run recently.
That's right. Fun. Does that count?
In my heart, it did.
That's an active. It was fun.
Laura, you flew. Once you started running, you were flying.
Hey, I got inspired at the back end when we got to all those like really lit houses.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was a good time. Shout out April Ubel.
Yes, absolutely.
I wrote Erica Dunford and Rachel Turbyfill. They've been really encouraging and also working out, and they always make plans to go to the YMCA and take the workout classes. And Rachel,
you take a class there sometimes?
Yeah. Okay. We've been taking classes. Do you have a YMCA membership?
Do you do like kickboxing or aerobics? What else could there be?
Step class.
That was fun.
A lot of fun because you kind of get lost in the music.
Yeah.
And we did an ab class once that started with a 3-minute plank. It was a lot. Rachel and her husband have taken me on a couple hikes, and I was heaving a lot, but they're very encouraging and patient. Hannah Mitchell has taught me a lot about nutrition and has introduced me to ways to take care of myself better. She takes me on walks with her family and helps me appreciate nature more.
Really cool.
Yeah. Sasha Lewis.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
How do you appreciate nature more?
She does these nature observations with her family. So she'll go, I think it's once a week, to the same spot in nature and take quiet 10 minutes to absorb and watch, and then come back the next week and see how things have changed. Mm. And that was really awesome because I've never really taken the time to consider that, how much is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. So it's in their neighborhood, or do they go further than that, branch out more?
They went to a spot in Henricus Park, mm-hmm. I believe, like a swampy area.
That's cool.
Yes. Yeah. Let's see. My dear friend, Sasha Lewis, she lives a very sustainable lifestyle as a Christian, does not excessively spend, really uses. She has. That's been really encouraging to me.
Mm.
Both Grace Freeman and Meredith have shared really nourishing recipes and have encouraged me to make food at home. I used to eat out quite a bit, so
mm-hmm.
it's been really encouraging. The Taylors have shared podcasts on health. There was one podcast that talks about the pharmaceutical industry and its relation to processed food, and that really changed my perspective on the processed food industry and how it's not really meant to nourish us. Josh Williams and Rachel Seitz have both taken big steps to prioritize their health. And that was really encouraging to me.
Because it's not easy.
Yeah.
You have to say no a lot.
Yeah. And it's something I was put on the back burner, but it's cool to see people I really admire prioritize that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then both Peyton Kester and Clark Johnson have been great models of financial responsibility and using a budget. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great list. It's really cool.
Yeah.
When did you kind of put all this down and realized all of this was going on?
Kind of moment by moment, I could see it happening, but preparing for this podcast, it really solidified in my mind that the Lord is, he's leading me in this direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it made me super grateful.
Yeah.
For him and for the people of the church who live admirable lives. Yeah. As a new Christian, it's a huge gift.
Such a bounty.
Yes.
I also wanted to add in there, you mentioned it briefly, I think earlier, like the choice to stay home more, just to be home.
Yeah.
Like, how would you talk about that? How is that a seed of faith?
I think that would be a lot of Deanna Williams. She really creates a fun environment for her family in the home and a nourishing environment with great, great food and activities. So that was a real inspiration to me for sure. But I think a lot of people in this list and your podcast, of course, and your home is very beautiful and always very welcoming. So it's cool to see the ministry that home can have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you turned your attention towards these things? Have you purchased anything? Have you just used what you have? Have you said, I should decorate and make home a place I want to be? Have you bought some pots and pans?
Like, yeah.
Anything like that?
I bought a PDF that had a cleaning schedule on it.
PDF. Yes.
Yes. I think tying it back to creative pursuits, spending time at home and working with my hands on things makes it a more welcoming environment, just creating positive memories in the space, knowing that there's something fun to return to.
Mm-hmm.
So still working on it. Mm-hmm. I did buy some more cleaning supplies to make cleaning more fun and inviting. But yeah, it's still a battle sometimes.
Yeah. Well, what would be a hard place for you right now?
I think I can feel lonely just because I do live alone in my space. So I often like to go out and do things to combat that. But it's not always
the most productive for the way I want to be growing. So just learning to find joy in doing those things at home.
Yeah. So what made you not be like, well, the internet will just tell me, or, you know, a book will just tell me, but because you've definitely mentioned those things as resources in your life previously. Yeah. And now you're like, oh, God's people will tell me.
Yeah, that's really funny because it wasn't, I didn't come to it on my own. I took a lot of my knowledge from YouTube videos and women posting videos on how they care for their homes. And I remember a conversation with Deanna saying that you do have this wealth of knowledge in the church and this, all these ladies in the church that you can have real experiences with. Mm-hmm. So definitely that conversation and then the Spirit showing me all of those things in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just triggered a memory in me a few years ago now. I wrote down a whole list of ladies, just things that I saw in them, like, they're good at that. And can I learn from you? Can we learn from you? And yeah, there's a sweet Shutterfly book in our living room of some of those memories.
I love that. I gotta see it.
Yeah. I should make some more. Something that I wanted to bring up is, you had mentioned to me before that, or even here on the podcast tonight, that you recognize you're bent towards inconsistency, but you realize that Jesus has been consistent.
Yeah.
Would you talk about
that's
that?
Good. Yeah. I think that is something that's shown me that the Lord really holds up my faith. I've seen a pattern myself to bop around from one thing to another. So the fact that I still desire to follow the Lord, I know is not something of myself, which makes it more precious to me, mm-hmm. that the Lord is faithful to show up on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's funny. I was going to say, can you tie that into faith? But you just did. Trusting he'll show up on a daily basis. Yeah.
That's good.
Going back to your planning, like, you are making an effort to be consistent, but you can't deny, like, your weakness at the same time. You can't pretend that it's not there. And there's never going to be a point where you're not going to be relying on the strength of God anyways, by the power of his Spirit. And so when you realize, like, that God is consistent and that's what he says he is, that he's never going to change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know. There's so much strength in that.
Yeah, that's really good.
You had a verse here that you wrote down.
Yes. I did not write down the actual words. Can I look it up?
Yes, please. Okay. What made you say, I think I want to put something down here?
I think relating it back to the word was important for me, to not just pick new habits that seem nice or everyone is doing, but to know that these actually tie into the word. And that I'm building in the right direction, that was important to me. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another.
Were you going to say anything?
Oh, that was my inspiration, seeing how all these people are living godly lives, and they are definitely sharpening me.
You inspired me to look up, what does that look like? So I looked at some videos and pictures of this in action, and maybe I have like a search bias, so I'm not sure if there's something I'm missing, but on a whole, it's a heated situation. Let's just say that there's either like sparks, fire, heat happening, or the whole piece being shaped is lit up on fire while the other thing is hammering it down.
Wow.
It was just interesting to me that it's not a flat thing, I guess. Like, the Hebrew way that it would say it is, one man sharpens the face of another.
Wow.
It kind of means, like, the whole countenance, like, the presence. And, again, it ties in so well with what you shared. Like, you must be close. You must, like, know you actually have to, like, hit each other. You have to have an impact.
Interesting.
You don't sharpen with no impact. You're not going to like hover around each other. You know, you've got to, it's got to spark. There's got to be heat. One person has to submit themselves to the change. to the fashioning, to the forming,
mm-hmm.
while the other moves on it. I don't know. Like I said, it just invites meditation about how relationships work. And there's a little bit of a nitty grittiness in it.
Mm.
And that's why some of those things we talked about earlier in the podcast that Pastor Doug was sharing, like the basics of Christianity, like all of these have to be in play. The forgiveness, the love, the encouragement to others to keep your head up, being in God's words, so that we're not so like, so that we don't look at God's body, this church that he's building, and just be like, oh, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
It's not something that I have to like bind myself to. And actually kind of like you were saying, even like yield yourself to, in a way, like open yourself up to change, to actually what others have to give in a more personal way.
Mm.
I'm not saying YouTube is bad.
Yeah.
Love it. It's fantastic. But if that's all you go to and not God's own people that are like right there in front of you, there's like something missing there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, those sparks. Have you felt any of that heat?
in an encouraging way, to see others thriving towards good things and then to not be going that way, it can feel heat. Yeah.
Well, like just basic science, heat means movement.
Okay.
You know, the colder you get, the more frozen you are. Yeah. You know, this the stasis. And so
that's good.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share in this section?
No, that was really good. Very encouraging.
So I wasn't trying to land the plane too hard anywhere there, but just kind of say it provoked me to think more deeply, as any good proverb does, right?
Yeah. Helps me understand what's going on a little bit better too.
So something being watered in your life, Rashmi.
For this, I wrote down Bible study and prayer. It's something that has been pretty consistent in my life since coming to the Lord. I was inspired by Rachel Jankovic. She has an encouragement on reading 3 chapters of the Bible every day, whether or not you totally understand what's going on, and to come humbly to the Word, knowing that you won't fully grasp everything, but it is food for you to consume. So that encouragement took me through the entire Bible. So I'm really grateful for that. And I want to.
Amazing.
Yeah, praise God. But I did not understand much of it. I just kept trudging through. So I want to continue to water that rhythm by reading some books that will help me understand the story and get to know the Lord more.
What just was glaring at me after I read this was, this came before all the other, well, it seems like anyways to me, all the other healthy habits was you read God's word. You did that first.
Yeah.
And then this all came next.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Lord works with priorities as well. And this was his priority in my life. So many times, many days when I was first a Christian, I wouldn't really do much. I would just read the word and kind of stay at home. But it's the habit he really wanted to solidify in me. So I can see the fruit of that. Yeah.
Can you mention prayer? Because you did bring up prayer.
Yeah. Reading the book on prayer, which I can't remember the name of.
What if it's just called prayer?
That would be crazy.
It'd be so crazy.
I think it's something like a praying life.
Okay.
Just thinking more about prayer and how it shows my dependency on the Lord. So if I'm going through days not praying, I'm actually acting independently and not with the right posture towards the Lord. So stepping into prayer more as a child instead of just praying to check off a box that said I prayed, but that knowing that prayer is really a gift that brings us into the presence of the Lord through busy days.
So what verse did you mark this section with?
I marked Psalm 119, verses 9 through 12. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes.
Awesome. Yeah, if the heart is the seat of our desire, then it's fitting that we would store God's word there, you know.
I like that. Yeah.
It's good. Can I ask you, do you have a way that you pray? Not like a ritual, but kind of?
Yeah, I usually start with the Lord's Prayer. And for a couple of months now, I've been praying through a list because I often forget what I'm asking for over time. So that has shown me a lot of fruit and has been helpful to see. I'm praying for this in the morning, and then the Lord provides these certain opportunities through the day. So it's helped me make more connections by having written prayers. But I've walked through different methods of prayer. For a long time, I wrote out all my prayers. But right now, reading more through lists and praying through those, yeah.
I wanted to start doing that maybe in the new year. All right, Rashmi, what in your life does not feel good right now but is good as God is training you or pruning you?
Kind of on the same theme here, cultivating more spiritual disciplines to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. As we spoke about in the first episode, I'm not a huge reader, but I'm seeing more and more the value of reading. And it's been cool to see Remnant take more steps in this direction as well with the podcast and reading through a book as a community. And I haven't done a great job of sticking with the book and taking time before group to read through the discussion questions and read the scripture. So I definitely want to step in that direction to take the things that our leaders are providing us with and to really delve into those.
That word cultivate, I really loved. It means to improve by labor, improve by care, improve by study. So it's only going to get better as you cultivate.
I like it.
It's really cool. Does all of this action take place in that bullet journal, your sermon notes? And okay, cool.
I used to have a separate notebook for sermon notes, but I found I wouldn't go back to them as often as I'd like. So having it in the bullet journal keeps it with my daily things and helps me to just review the sermon throughout the week while I'm making plans.
That is really great. Awesome. So how is this pressing on you, this reading?
In a lot of ways, everyone in CG has been really encouraging, and other folks have been taking steps to read more. I know Dakota is reading more and talking about that. And a lot of folks have been giving me advice on reading lists. And it's something I've tried to adopt and I've failed. But knowing that a lot of the saints in our church spend a lot of time reading, I'm praying the Lord would give me strength and interest in reading.
What about the questions? You said there's questions, answering questions, preparing for group, answering questions.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of taking the time before group to pray through the questions provided. I'll go to group and kind of on a whim answer the questions. But I think there's some value in preparing for group and prepping for that discussion.
Yeah. Okay. So you're obeying God by doing all this. But are you saying it is not comfortable to you yet?
That's correct.
The training aspect?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's not comfortable. Sometimes it feels pointless. Like, I don't see the fruit of it yet, Lord. Why can't I just sit and absorb?
Kind of like metaphorically, I'm stepping on the scale and nothing's changing kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very short-term perspective. And I see I don't really trust the Lord to grow these things in my life. So just feeling conviction about that and praying that my trust in the Lord would increase to see that these things do bear fruit over time.
Well, what about your cleaning schedule? Is that borne fruit?
A little bit. It does make the home a more welcoming place to be. And I realize I sleep better knowing that the space is clean. When it's not clean, I kind of wake up in a stressed state. So I still have a lot of work to do in that realm, but the days that I do do it, I do see the fruit of that. That is more immediate fruit. So that is encouraging. Yeah, that's good.
Do you sing while you mop? Like, what's that movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I don't sing. I usually watch videos or listen to podcasts, listen to music.
Do you sing at all?
I have been enjoying singing more, especially with the Christmas season, singing hymns. Hannah Gross made this book of hymns that is really beautiful, and it's really encouraged my heart. So it made me want to sing more.
What do you mean she made it? What does that mean?
She printed it. She works in a print shop, and so she printed a collection of hymns, and we went caroling and sang them to her neighbors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
To her neighbors or yours?
Her neighbors.
Okay. How'd that go?
It was awesome. I loved it, just singing about Jesus. That's what we're celebrating, and it brought me a lot of joy. It might have been a little bit awkward.
Yeah. So did you do the whole knock thing, and then you stand back and wait?
Yes.
And people open their doors?
And people open the door.
Did you get any, like, super shocked faces?
No, everyone was so kind and stood there and smiled while we sang. So I'm really glad Hannah put that together.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever have a thing where you're, like, singing a song and then you actually realize what you're singing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so last year, Joy to the World, the line, our songs employ, and I now deeply love that because I'm like, you're putting your songs to work. Like, they actually have a job to do. I love it. I love
That's amazing.
So much. Employ. It's like the song is, it speaks for itself. Anyway, all right, Reshma. So weeding time. What's got to get out of that garden?
Let's see. Yeah, I wrote down excessive spending, comfort, and sugary sweets. Those are things that I've seen stick with me as I've been walking with the Lord. I definitely use those as comfort, short-term reliefs. But with the excessive spending, I've seen that I'm not using the money that the Lord's given me to grow things. It's more like they kind of just go, the money goes through my hands and it's not really building anything. And I'm finding really short-term satisfaction in shopping. So that's been something that I'm trying to weed out, and stepping into more creative endeavors is helping with that as well, to find joy in those things and create things that are lasting.
Did you say the Lord showed you? Well, let me just ask you this. So did you ask him to help you here? Or like you said in your notes, the Lord has shown me I find comfort in bad habits instead of him. Is that something that you're aware was happening? Did you ask him to, like, reveal something to you?
Yes. Okay. Definitely asked the Lord to reveal idols in my life.
Okay.
And I always...
And that's what you titled this section.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Idols. Okay.
Yeah.
Leave that in.
Yeah, of course. I always thought idols were like these big, bad things that I'd be worshiping. But after I started praying that prayer, he showed me it really is those sneaky things that when I'm having a bad day, like, what am I actually going to? And it's not Jesus. So, yeah, it is an idol to find kind of comfort in the afternoon treat over praying and taking some time to be with the Lord. So, yeah, it's definitely hard. And I'm in a period right now where I'm more upset that I can't find comfort in those things. And I haven't stepped into the joy of Jesus. So that's what I'm praying for in the next year. Really stepping into the joy that he has for us.
What do you think the excessive / unwise spending and comfort and sugary sweets, what do you think that's like pointing to? Because I wouldn't say sweets like, oh, that's sin.
Yeah. I think it's pacifying pain. So there's something that comes up and I go to those things to mask the pain instead of going to the Lord. So those things become my stability over Jesus being my stability. Yeah. Yeah, that is hard because it's not a sin to spend money and it's not a sin to eat. But those things can be twisted in my heart.
Mm-hmm. The scripture that you chose, how does that interact with what you're sharing?
The scripture was on worldliness and worldly living. So I relate these habits with habits that I formed while I was living in the world, and I'd like to replace them with more kingdom habits, if that's a thing, and how life looks in God's kingdom.
And the scripture was in 1 John?
Yes, 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever.
And I forgot to ask you to read from your last section, Proverbs 10:16.
Okay. Proverbs 10:16. The reward of the righteous is life. The wages of the wicked is punishment.
Yeah, and both of the John and that, you're saying you want life.
Yes, yes.
Yep. Yeah. And the idols, to me, you're equating God with being as he says he is. I'm the fount of living water. And the idols, at the end of the day, they're like that salt water. Like they will never, there's nothing inherent to salt water that will satisfy you. It'll just leave you completely dissatisfied because they don't have the ability to. They never can.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tricky.
So it's been really hard. I think it's not unique to you to do the thing without seeing the fruit.
Yeah.
Which, what plant do you know that just happens like that? I don't know. Any plant that's fruit just grows just like that. You know, it has to start as so small, like minuscule, insignificant.
Yeah.
Almost like something that you'd actually, yeah, that you would just toss to the side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's pretty slow to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But it tastes really good if you allow it. Like you said, how do you nurture this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like a pig or your body the way it's supposed to, so that it can get to that good place.
Yeah. That's humbling. It takes patience to water those things.
Yep. But you're trusting God to grow them in you, which you wouldn't be doing all these things if part of you didn't believe that he could do it and will do
it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Harvest time.
Harvesting. I wrote about the church for harvesting. It really goes back to when I was fearful of going to church, and the Lord was really patient with me and brought me to Remnant. And even my first couple of years at Remnant, it was very hard for me to go. I'd be very anxious during the sermon. But with the Lord's help, being obedient to his word and stepping into fellowship and corporate worship, I've really seen the fruit of that through relationships with his people. And now it's one of the things that is my greatest anchor to the Lord and brings me the greatest joy.
Mm.
So... yeah.
Woo. A love for God's people and a love for his church.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. I am not naturally a very loving person. So I prayed a lot that the Lord would give me a love for his church and a love for his people. So he's been very faithful to provide that.
Yeah.
And has shown me that that is his will, that we love his church and his people, and that there's a great amount of fruit in it, more than I could even ask for.
Mm. What does that mean to you that you're now one of those people?
I honestly can't believe it. Sometimes, yeah, it's what a gift it is to be in his church. I think I struggle with that sometimes because I didn't grow up in the church and also had a very negative view of the church. So I do feel like an imposter sometimes. But everyone in Remnant is very welcoming and inviting and has taken very good care of me. So I definitely feel very welcome in the Lord's house.
Whether you like it or not, you have the family name.
Yes. So it really is the family name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there was a sermon on that recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pastor Ford, I believe, in Midtown.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Good. All right. Please share the scripture from Matthew that you wrote down.
Okay. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands.
And as we close out this section, can you just comment for me on the category of victory? So one of the prompts that I give is for the person reflecting on the harvest that God has brought about in their life is to reflect on answered prayers, God's faithfulness, his everyday graces, and or victories. And how can you talk about you being named among God's children as a victory?
Yeah, it's a really great victory in my life. It doesn't make sense to me often. God's a God of lineage and generation, and he honors generations. And I kind of see myself as a dot outside of a circle where all of God's people are. And so for the Lord to choose kind of this far off dot in the universe and call me daughter is the greatest victory of all.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, Rashmi, thank you so much for sharing with us and just being here, being a friend.
Thank you for having me, Laura. It's a great honor to be here, and I really appreciate this podcast.
I'm excited to hear what you have to bring. Are you going to branch out and sing?
I'll spare the listeners routine. This time.
I don't know.
That would be awesome. That would be really awesome.
How to... I don't even know what you do.
Yes. It is a lot of fun. We got to do it sometime soon.
I'll go. All right. What do you got, Rashmi? What is something more personal to you that you've brought from home to share?
Yeah, I wrote this on a trip to visit a dear friend, Sasha. So I'll read it. Growing up in the suburbs of D.C., I could not imagine that there was anything good to be found in the country. Then I met Sasha, my randomly assigned freshman year roommate at VCU. She was from this place called Amherst, the country. I couldn't believe someone so awesome could come from the country. My bias is totally showing. Over the years, through friendship with Sasha, driving back and forth to visit her and her family, my heart started to become fond of these Virginia country lands. At first, I drove quickly, thinking a murderer would come at me from these dark woods that had no help of streetlights. Now nothing stirs my affections more for Virginia than these trips to visit my friend. Almost 10 years later, it is clear that this randomly assigned freshman year roommate of mine was not random at all, but an undeserved gift orchestrated by the master storyteller. Although Sasha and I can't visit nearly as much as we did in college, we were both saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and now share in a deeper friendship bought by the blood of Jesus. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, God invites us into fellowship with him and his people. Fellowship has been such a sweet gift because it is not held up by my ability to be a good friend, but held up by the covenantal love of God that is open to all who accept the Lord Jesus Christ. God's power is so great and is at work in the small details of our stories, even knitting together city and country folk.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.